Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller. Today, we're going to be talking about the Paleo Diet. It's one of the most popular programs in North America at the moment. And we're going to find out how you can look at your ancestral eating habits and drop some pounds. And the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about Gabrielle Glancy, about her book, I'm Already Disturbed, Please Come In. But before we do that, here's Garrett with the health news.
Living your life with a strong sense of purpose may lower your risk for early death, heart attack, or stroke, new research suggests. The finding is based on a broad review of past research involving more than 137,000 people in all. The research team reviewed 10 published studies. The average follow-up was 8.5 years. Compared to people with a low sense of purpose, those possessing a strong sense of purpose had a 23% reduced risk of death from any cause, the researchers found. A strong purpose in life is also linked to a 19% reduced risk of cardiovascular-related events such as heart attack or stroke, coronary artery placement, or bypass surgery, the study said. Women who start having hot flashes at a younger age may be at increased risk for heart disease. According to two studies conducted at the same team of researchers, one of the studies also found that women who have more frequent hot flashes during a typical day may be at raised heart risk. Led by Rebecca Thurston at the University of Pittsburgh, the studies found that women who begin experiencing hot flashes earlier in life appear to have poorer function of the lining of the blood vessels than those who have hot flashes at a later age, or not at all. Impaired function of the blood vessel walls, called reduced endothelial function, is the earliest sign of heart disease, the researchers noted. In one study, 189 women either in or just out of menopause wore a special monitor for 24 hours to track the frequency of their hot flashes. Their blood vessels' health was checked via ultrasound tests to arteries to the forearm. Websites that offer personalized genetic cancer tests tend to overstate their supposed benefits and downplay their limitations, a new study says. And many sites offer tests that have not been proven to be useful in guiding cancer treatment, according to the Dana Faber Cancer Institute that analyzed 55 such websites. The researchers also found that 88% of websites offered one or more non-standard tests that lacked evidence of having value in routine cancer care. The study was published March 5th in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. Some sites marketed tests of a tumor genetic characteristics, while others analyzed a patient's personalized genome, or gene profile, looking for altered genes that may raise a healthy person's risk of developing cancer. Night-to-night changes in the amount of sleep teens get may affect how much they eat, a new study suggests. The research included 342 teens, average age 17, who slept an average of 7 hours a night. But after nights where they slept an hour less or more than normal, the teens ate an average of 201 more calories, 6 grams more fat, and 32 grams more of carbohydrate a day. Also, they were much more likely to have nighttime snacks on school nights and weekends, according to the study. It's scheduled for presentation Thursday at the American Heart Association meeting in Dallas.
Thanks for that, Garrett. Our first guests, Camelia Carboni and Melissa Van Dover, have written a book called The Paleo Cleanse. Melissa and Camelia, welcome to the show.
Thank you ever so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about how you guys got together. This is your second book, and how you, what got you interested in the paleo diet?
So essentially, we had kind of met, we started working together, and both of us were very health conscious. So there was a time about a year and a half ago when Camilla's boyfriend brought home a book, and it was in relation to the paleo diet.
John Durant's The Paleo Manifesto, which we highly recommend to readers. It's a great starting point.
And also during that time, we started the Insanity Workout. So we went through and did the Insanity Workout. We had a lot of fun with it. But the diet that was prescribed really differs from the paleo diet. And we could tell that something, even though we were really working out well and we were still eating well and healthy, it just wasn't everything that we were looking for. So we decided to try something different. We decided to do the paleo diet together. We did a 30-day challenge, and that kind of launched our blog, The Paleo Pact. And we saw a huge change after we both implemented the paleo diet. Some major differences, both emotionally and physically, and we decided that, you know, this is awesome. We really want to encourage other people to do it, so we decided to write a book together.
Yeah, and I think that a part of that as well was, you know, our own experience It was kind of challenging, honestly, to get started, to find the correct foods, to find easy-to-make recipes for the working individual. And we really wanted to make it easier for other people who also wanted to go down this path.
Melissa, what is the basis, like, how was a paleo diet invented, and or who started it? And can you give us, for listeners that don't understand what the paleo diet is, maybe tell us what it, you know, how what foods you can eat?
Absolutely. So the paleo diet started quite a long time ago, actually, with our ancestors. And the whole premise of the diet is to eat like our ancestors did. So we're going to eat things that were naturally grown. Camilla will give you some more information on that. But one of the books that really got me launched with it was Lauren Cordain. He wrote the book, The Paleo Diet, which kind of brought the diet back to the public view quite some time ago. So Camilla will give you a little bit more information about the diet.
So really what it is, you know, eating what we're biologically adapted to eat, which is fruits, vegetables, healthy fats, grass-fed meats, fish, nuts, anything that you would have found back in the day if you were living in the caveman era. What it doesn't do is include grains, legumes, refined sugar, dairy, or vegetable oils, all the foods that we're not easily able to digest as a human species.
Now, some people might argue that, you know, our ancient ancestors didn't live as long as we do, and perhaps that could be attributed to diet, but what's your take on that?
You know, that's a great question, and we get asked that a lot. It's actually something we included in our book, because that is something that came up, and, you know, it was a definite conflict that we had to deal with a number of times throughout our own 30-day paleo cleanse. And really, the answer is that there was different circumstances back then. You know, we have shelter today. We have security. Our lives are a lot easier. We're not chasing for hours on end to find the next deer to eat for dinner. You know, the natural causes. We have medicine now to take care of things like that. There's a lot of improvements that have happened in modern society that enabled us to live longer. What is interesting, though, is if you look back at our caveman ancestors, you'll notice that they have extremely good teeth and very healthy bones, and they had immense physical endurance. And those are all things that, when you start to eat correctly according to the ancestral diet, you start to see that food and, you know, dietary choices is a big impact on those elements.
So what changed in, you know, if our ancestors were eating this type of way, you know, kind of food, what changed in how we evolved to get us to where we are today, where, you know, 90% of people are eating processed foods?
Really what happened was the agricultural era. It became easier to use milk from the cows that were farmed and to turn the grain, the crops that we were growing, into breads and pasta. And it just became a much easier way of life. You know, to be quite honest, it's also a cheaper way of life. It's much easier to whip up a quick batch of rice than it is to buy grass-fed meats and healthy vegetables. So the agricultural era is really what defended our human diet.
And another point on that, too, is really our habits have changed as we've evolved as a human species. So where originally it was habitual to go out and hunt our own food and to grow our own food, that's changed. Now when people are so busy, they're working all the time, it's easy just to go through the drive-thru to pick something up. So we've seen a lot as well as there being the agricultural era that came through. There is also the change of habits within society.
What do people notice, Camelia, when they do the paleo diet?
You know, it does vary by person. I think the most common things that we certainly noticed and that a lot of people that reach out to us who have read the book and done the paleo cleanse notice is weight loss is definitely a factor. The minute that you take out grains and legumes from your diet, your digestive tract is less inflamed, and it helps to easily break down the food. The result of that is weight loss. There's a number of other things. Blood sugar crashes are almost entirely eliminated. The after-lunch kind of need to take a nap or the brain fog that typically happens after eating carbohydrate-heavy meals, that is dramatically reduced. I personally experienced clearer skin. My migraine headache completely disappeared. I haven't had one in a year and a half now since eating this way. Sounder sleep, physical performance. Reduced inflammation affects the immune system as well. When the immune system no longer has to fight the toxins placed in the body with grains, refined sugar, dairy, vegetable oils, it's able to actually focus on the exterior bacteria, which enables us to be more healthy and just feel better overall in general. And then I think the craving thing as well, I mean, that definitely is a factor. I think Melissa can talk to that.
Absolutely. I noticed when I started the Paleo Cleanse, cravings in terms of just feeling like I'm crashing after not having food over a certain period of time has kind of gone away. My blood sugar has, you know, really become more stable. But in addition to that, for myself, my allergies have gotten a lot better. So my sinus allergies, all of those seem to have cleared up. Obviously, I still get some seasonal allergies, but they're much better now that I'm not having food on top of it that's causing some sort of allergic reaction.
What's the difference between the paleo diet, for example, and the Atkins diet, which was similar high protein, low carbohydrate?
So I think there's two major differences. The first being the Atkins advocates dairy, so you can eat cheese and milk on that diet. But the second thing, which I think is probably the most important, is the quality of produce. The paleo diet doesn't just advocate any meat. It specifically advocates grass-fed meat. And there's a really big reason for that. Fat is a sponge, essentially, and it attracts everything that's found in animals. So as much as we need fat in our diet, if you're eating animals that have not been grass-fed, then you're consuming all of the antibiotics and hormones that they pumped into to keep them from being sick because they're being fed a grain diet, which is also not their natural diet. So I think it's a focus on organic produce. It's a focus on, you know, sustainability and helping the environment. And that factor is definitely different.
And in addition to that, too, I also know that the Atkins diet, they do restrict fruit on there. So that's something that's not restricted on the paleo diet as well.
Tell us a little bit about grains, a little bit more about grains. You know, we've seen that gluten-free, you know, the gluten-free fat come, and you know, I guess for some areas it's still you know, fairly persistent. But what is the issue with grains that you found in researching this paleo diet?
So for the celiac disease population, that is certainly the element of the gluten factor in grains. Really, there's a number of other elements as well, which is insulin, the one. It really creates a lot of sugar. Grains, bread in particular, breaks down in the mouth into sugar. So we're getting an unnecessary amount, and an amount that the body is really not designed to be able to process efficiently. The other thing in grains is they have an addictive element. They actually are similar in quality to opiates. They have the same opiates in them as does heroin and drugs of that sort. So when people say that they can't give up bread, they literally can't give up bread. They are addicted to it. And it's causing a inflammation in the gut because of the toxic proteins found in the grain, the phytic acid that coats the bran, for example. All of those seeds and grains were designed to propagate, so they're meant to be passed through the body of both humans and animals, stay intact, and then develop into a plant. We're not actually able to break them down efficiently.
And Dave, I know you mentioned the gluten-free diet. So it's really good to point out that just because something is gluten-free does not make it paleo. I think there's a big misconception there sometimes that if something's gluten-free, that it can be good for you, and that's not necessarily the case. So one of the things that we think is really important, and it's in our book and in our blog, is that we encourage people to read the ingredients of the foods that they're eating. A lot of times if you look through gluten-free foods, there's a lot of ingredients that are not paleo or may not be good for you. And a lot of times they can actually be much higher calories than what you're used to eating.
We're talking with Camelia Carboni and Melissa Van Doven. They're the authors of The Paleo Cleanse, 30 Days of Ancestral Eating to Detox, Drop Pounds, Recharge Your Health, and Transition into a Primal Lifestyle. We're going to transition into a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to them more.